This Christmas season, in and around Boston, many Catholics are praying for their churches. This year, the Archdiocese announced that more than 80 parishes would have to close. That's nearly one in four. Among the reasons for reconfiguration, population shifts, a shortage of priests, and a soaring deficit. A new audit shows the Archdiocese was $20 million in the red last year. Archbishop Sean O'Malley has stressed that none of the funds raised from consolidation will pay for the settlement of sexual abuse cases.
Eight churches have gone into round-the-clock vigils to protest their closing, to little effect. Others have been given a slight reprieve.
We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge
in Roxbury, one of the poorest parts of Boston, St. Mary of the Angels was originally on the list of churches to be shut down. The people of St. Mary's got the surprise news in a letter from the Archbishop delivered by Federal Express on May 25th. St. Mary's has a long history in the inner city, working against poverty, against violence and gangs. So closure was a stinging blow, especially at a time when crime in the city has spiked. Parishioner Meg Campbell.
When we heard that this might be closed, it's just like snuffing out light. These are little campfires that we're trying to keep. We're all huddled around to kind of keep building peace in the communities. And what we need is more little campfires, not closing them.
The parishioners appealed. They argued that St. Mary's work in the community has made it invaluable. And months later, the Archdiocese relented. St. Mary's was granted two more years of life. On a recent Sunday, parishioners offered up their prayers.
This is my third year since I have my aneurysm. Thank God I'm doing fine.
I'd like to pray for the full recovery of a student of mine who was stabbed this week walking home from school, and for his still at large assailant. For this we pray to the Lord.
I'd like to pray in thanksgiving that the Archbishop heard our story after he didn't hear it in the course of the rather mechanical shutting down process. So let's be thankful for him and for his wisdom and for his help. Let us pray to the Lord.
That's Father David Gill leading the first Mass of the morning at 8:30. He wears a purple chasuble with a woven rainbow stripe and hood. He'll tell you these colors are a symbol of this church, which prides itself on its diversity. Some three dozen different nationalities in these pews, Laotians, Irish, Nigerians, Dominicans. Some are from the neighborhood. Others travel more than an hour to worship here. Judges and architects sit next to cleaning women and maintenance workers who may toss a few coins into the collection basket.
27. Do you like the stronger? This is a new one.
It's a Nicaraguan coffee.
How much I own you?
Between services, the parishioners sell organic coffee, tea, and chocolate to support small growers around the world. There are three Masses on Sunday, one in Spanish, two in English.
Our activities are not just things we do on the side. They're not just extracurricular activities. They are worship. When we feed the hungry, when we sell coffee for the poor farmers, when we bring gifts to the homeless. This is what it's about.
St. Mary's started out in 1906 in a basement. The main fancy church was to be built on top, but that never happened. Now, nearly a century later, St. Mary's is still just a basement in Eggleston Square, a squat brick and wood building with a low, sloping roof. It's a modest space, its white walls mostly bare. For some parishioners, St. Mary's is more than a center of worship or a place that knits a diverse community together. It's also their salvation, and has been since the brutal peak of gang violence in this neighborhood in the 1980s and early 90s.
This was the only actual safe place to be at, you know, at that time. For many of us, it was either the streets or the church.
Sixto Merced grew up a block away from St. Mary's, was baptized here, took his first communion, and was confirmed here. Now he's a Boston police officer, 30 years old, with a buzz cut and solid frame. He patrols streets that are a lot safer than they were when he was growing up, and gangs were everywhere.
I lived on a school street, so at the end of school street in Washington were the X-Men. Behind us, right here by the school, were the Timberwolves. That's two. Right behind the church here at Homestead, three. Walnut, four. Humboldt, five. Academy Homes, six.
These are all gangs?
All gangs. Mozart Park makes seven, and that's just in this general area. But it was just incredible. The youth were just dying, left and right.
Sixto Merced and others will tell you it was this church that helped turn the neighborhood around. The public library next door had been closed for several years after a violent assault there. People from St. Mary's helped get the city to reopen it. The church pushed for a YMCA to open around the corner. A neighborhood association started meeting in the parish house. Now, abandoned buildings are being rehabbed. New homes and businesses are springing up all around Eggleston Square.
We close, and then what's going to happen? We're going to basically go back. We're going to be in the 80s and 90s again where there's nothing else available. And we have to start it from scratch. Why do that again? There's no need for that.
So the people of St. Mary's are trying to keep the neighborhood from slipping back to those dark days.
How are you?
Oh, I'm trying to hang in there.
Sister Virginia Mulhern gets police reports of homicides in the area, and she'll go to visit the victims' families. Today, Sister Virginia has come to see Charmise Galloway.
I'm still trying to grasp it all, still.
Her 14-year-old son, Dakeem, was shot and killed in June, one of 40 young homicide victims in the city this year. Sister Virginia is here to listen.
It's been 6 months for Dakeem yesterday, and as much as I would love to be in a grave with him, I know I still have my daughters here.
You're good to them.
Yeah, they're excellent to me.
They keep you going?
Yeah.
Charmise Galloway isn't a parishioner. Sister Virginia isn't trying to make a new convert. She does want to support the mothers and other children in these families to keep the cycle of violence from repeating.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Yeah. Always come back. Okay. We'll have some tea.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Good. And then we Great. Can cry a little together.
Yeah, we could. Okay. I don't mind.
My dear brothers and sisters, let us ask the Lord Jesus to look lovingly on this child who is to be baptized.
At the noontime mass at St. Mary's, 11-month-old Talia Shepherd is a confection of shiny white organza, gurgling happily as she waits for her baptism.
Talia, get your head over here. Talia, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This baptism counts as one point on St. Mary's sacramental index. And that's one of the things the Archdiocese looked at as it weighed which churches to close, how many baptisms, weddings, and funerals the churches performed. St. Mary's numbers were pretty low. The Archdiocese also looked at whether the church had a school. St. Mary's does not. And whether there was another church nearby. And there is another Catholic church less than a mile away from St. Mary's. Somewhere in those calculations, St. Mary's lost.
I was really angry because I thought we were being punished for politics.
Meg Campbell has been an active member of St. Mary's for 8 years. She's principal of a small urban charter school nearby. That was her prayer we heard earlier for one of her students who'd been stabbed.
This church has been outspoken, whether it's on the sexual abuse scandal, whether it's welcoming people of all orientations, ethnicities, everything. This is a place where everybody is welcome. And this church has been so true to the vision of profound Christianity. You know, we haven't put our money into the building. We've put our money into programs, relationship building, community. You know, we don't have galas. We don't have, you know, golf tournaments. We're not traditionally well-connected. On the other hand, what we did have going for us was fighting spirit, but also an incredible concentration of social capital.
And they put that social capital to use. Parishioners, politicians, and community leaders all sent letters begging for a reprieve. They noted the recent rise in crime in Roxbury and St. Mary's long tradition of anti-violence work. They said the church raises the $100,000 or so dollars it needs to run. And Father Gill, a Jesuit, doesn't draw a salary. Something worked, though it's not clear exactly what. On October 16th, Archbishop Sean O'Malley announced that St. Mary's would remain open for 2 more years. Some 15 parishes were granted extensions, most for just a few weeks or months. To find out why St. Mary's was given a reprieve, we went across the Charles River to Harvard Square in Cambridge and St. Paul's Church. As humble and spare as St. Mary's is in Roxbury, St. Paul's is grand, a massive Romanesque building with a soaring vaulted ceiling. Monsignor Dennis Sheehan is the pastor here. He also sits on the committee that reviewed the reconfiguration process.
it's pretty clear to me that the Archbishop felt very deeply that St. Mary of the Angels represented a Catholic presence in a community where violence has escalated over the past couple of years, and the presence of the Church can bring healing and hopefully reconciliation and work for the building of a community where that community is very much needed.
You do hear this when you talk to people from the parish, though, that if the Archdiocese recognized the work that Church did, why did it take them months to reverse a decision that was made and sanctioned by the Archdiocese itself?
I think because, like any other process, this was carried out by human beings and subject to flaws and misperceptions and overlooked data and even mistaken judgments. Nobody thinks that this process, as large as it was and as complex as it was perfect in all its original decisions.
Back in the well-worn parish house in Roxbury, we asked the pastor, Father David Gill, whether St. Mary's will have to shut down after its 2-year reprieve.
That's one possible outcome, sure. That's what they're saying. That's what it says on paper. But the people here are hopeful. I take my lead from them. It's their church. I just work here. I'm going to be 70 in a couple of weeks. There's not a lot of people in the pipeline who have experience of this and can do Spanish and know the scene. If I weren't here, I don't know who they'd get.
Do you worry about that, about this place and what will become of it?
Yeah, I'm going to worry about the folks, what they will do and where they'll go. And yeah. When I get discouraged, I just go to church on Sunday and it puts me back.
That's what sort of keeps you going.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, how could I bail out? I mean, yeah, I wake up some days, let me out of here. And what I do is I go for a walk around the neighborhood and I say, look, there's real life going on here. And who am I to bail out?
The parishioners of St. Mary's hope that over the next 2 years they'll prove themselves indispensable. Or maybe, they say, the Archdiocese will simply forget about their small parish. And, of course, they'll be praying.
God is good.
All the time.
When?
All the time.
You can see photos of St. Mary's at our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.